All right, welcome back. 919 here on this Monday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you. A couple things we haven't gotten to yet. The Kyrie Irving trade yesterday. So, again, it's just reports at this time, but the Athletic reporting that the deal is done. He's going to Dallas. After requesting a trade on Friday, the Nets couldn't wait to get rid of
that. They actually had a car waiting for him. Now, the next phase of this is everybody in basketball knows he wanted to go to L.A. and play with LeBron.
No, he's said to be, quote, ecstatic that he's going to Dallas.
Okay, because I was waiting for apparently old LeBron, not too happy. What's up with this first-round pick in 2029?
I know, it's crazy. That's the latest in the NBA. That's the latest that you can trade a first-round pick is 2029.
6 years out. Wow.
Yeah.
That is bizarre.
It is.
I'm trying to think of, who knows what's happening with Brooklyn. People complain about super teams. Well, that's an experiment that never got off the ground, JR, right? That's kind of like when you're doing rocket testing, and it kind of looks like it's going to go up, and then it blows up. Hey, you know, when you're doing the rocket, this thing's going to launch. And then you're like, no, it just fell over and blew up.
Well, we had Kevin Durant asked for a trade last summer, and then he kind of rescinded it. But there's some talk that Kevin Durant could get traded. The NBA trade deadline is this Thursday, that he could be dealt this week as well. New Jersey could, Brooklyn could go completely in the other direction from where they were.
Has the Simmons fell even really played?
He has, but not very well.
He's completely lost was going on. And to that. Also got Mr. Nash fired as well. Yeah, so it really has been. That has been a disaster. And that also is a franchise that doesn't feel like that long ago made that ridiculous trade with the Celtics to help them rebuild when they traded for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, where they gave up multiple first-round picks.
The Raptors could be potentially. So they just finished a 7-game road trip in which they went 4-3. So pretty good. They won last night in Memphis. And a lot of people were saying going in that this was going to be a make or break road trip for the Raptors in terms of what they were going to do at the trade deadline. And going 4-3 was kind of like, well, it's not great, but it's not terrible. It's kind of more of the same. So I don't know whether Masai Ujiri and company have any further information as to what they want to do. We do know that, you know, according to some reports at least, that other teams are kicking tires on a couple of key players, OG Anunoby being one, and Fred VanVleet, who's a pending free agent, would be another that the Raptors potentially could be moving as soon as this week.
Yeah, I wonder after you, well, personally, I look at it either, and especially after winning a championship, you just look at your team and say, okay, does this, if you stay the course with it, feel like you can win a championship? And again, it feels like they're kind of back to where they're a Kawhi Leonard away from winning, JR. And also to that on OG, the report was the team was offering 3 first-round picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you go the mode of, Masai started out with the Oklahoma City, did he not?
I only remember from Denver.
Okay, but I just wonder if, boy, 3 first-round picks. And then do you just
but first-round picks in the NBA are not like for – well, it's kind of like – I don't want to discount, but first-round picks in the NHL, but if depending on where they are –
yeah, that's a good point,
if they're late in the first round, there's a lot of NBA draft picks that just wash out.
Yeah, that's a good point,
If you're not getting a guy in the lottery, and on any given year – really, you're not getting much at all.
Yeah, it feels like the Raptors over the years, but you think the Scotty Barnes, but what was the...
Scotty Barnes was the 4th overall
pick. Yeah, to the point of, the point guard that played at the same school as Kawhi Leonard, is he still on the team? The first-round pick from like 4 years ago?
Malachi Flynn?
Yeah, like to your point.
He's off the bench. He's I don't want to say he's just a guy, but...
He's
a Jag. By the way, anytime I drop now Jag, that's what that means.
Oh. You're going to have to explain that every single time you drop Jag.
But he's just a Jag.
Just a guy.
Lot NHL rosters are filled with a lot of Jags as well. He's just a guy. In other words, a replacement level player.
That comes way too close to the old saying. Anyway, I'll leave that alone.
Yes. Okay.
We'll see what the Raptors are. Yeah, it's always interesting in the NBA and... people seem to claim, and this is another dispute in the NHL, that there aren't enough trades. I thought that the whole idea was that back in the day, when nobody wanted to play for Canadian teams and you had to trade them all the time, I didn't think that was good for business, but I guess it was here. I didn't realize that. I thought having the same core of players for 10 to 12 years, like they did in Ottawa with Alfie and the crew, was good for business, but obviously not so. It would get more people talking. if all the big franchises are getting all the players like Detroit did back in the day. So who? What do I know? I just find all this stuff to be crazy. I'm like, I tend to be. Well, I think I have a pretty good outlook on things. I just was taken aback by all this negativity. But that's Twitter.
Over the weekend.
That's Twitter.
People had too much free time on their hands.
I guess so, yeah.
Too much time to complain about the, which everybody said, including the people that ended up complaining about it endlessly on the weekend, especially the skills competition. Everybody said going in, this is going to be terrible, and then insisted on watching it and then telling everybody through their social media channels that it was terrible, just like they said it was going to be. So, like you, I don't put my time into things that I know I'm not going to enjoy, or if I try them with the thought or the hope that maybe it's going to be different than I thought it was going to be, and it isn't, that I will cut bait on that and move on to something else, as opposed to making myself unhappy. But I've come to the conclusion that too many hockey fans, too many NHL fans enjoy misery.
Yeah.
This is what it's come to. Well, they enjoy being unhappy.
That's a good point. And I think it's kind of the Tiger King theory, an evolution of society, that you're really disturbed and upset and watching this, but you're going to watch it anyway. You're just going to kind of continue along like the car crash. So, as I said, it is, I just really, when you, I guess, go through some of the debates, and we've been both covering and around the sports for a long time. Like, I think back to that darn Smythe division back in the day, and you talk about ridiculous times. The Norris division, we didn't even talk about that year. Like, poor Winnipeg would legitimately have, you know, they would be in the top 10 in the NHL, maybe
top
8. You know, yeah.
Top 5.
Yeah.
And it's the same argument that the Leafs, and to a lesser, like, I'm not hearing as much carping out of Tampa about the fact they're going to have to play the Leafs either. Now, I don't follow by osmosis. We get a lot more Leaf content, obviously, through our television.
Oh, no, there's been riots on the streets.
Have there? Right. That they are so unhappy down in Tampa, fact that it's been locked in, they're going to have to play the Leafs all year.
Well,
I have not heard that much. But
And back to the 21-team league guys, like, there was literally the haves and have-nots. Like, the drop-off of, and again, you go through, and if you're a Leafs fan, you're demanding. And again, I know you said with the format, but just say it was the Rangers. Like there's some free pass that you're going to be just mop up on the Rangers, right? Oh, well, let's just take care of them in four, and then we'll have a long break. I don't really get that. And even at that, chances are, okay, one round, well, you're going to play Tampa in round two, and if you get that, pretty good chance you're going to play Boston in round three. There's no free pass in the top 16 in the NHL anymore.
They just
anymore.
Want to win a round.
Oh, no, I understand.
It's been a while.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah. Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question go back to that. What's the best playoff format? Just because it was up for debate seemingly a lot on the weekend. Current format, including the wild cards, that's option one. Option two is division playoffs only. Option three is conference playoffs, 1 through 8. Option four is league playoffs, 1 through 16. Right now, conference playoffs are running away with it at 74%.
I'm going to have to pull that one down.
League playoffs, 1 to 16, which was never going to happen, is 12.5%. Current system with wild cards, 8%. Last is the correct answer of divisional playoffs only at 6%. Hammer, Simmer, and
I think they've worded this. Hammer didn't describe this properly.
What do you mean I didn't describe it?
What was your vote
properly?
For, by the way? I don't think I asked you what your vote
was. I'm right along with you guys. You guys said it all. I mean, I'm all about rivalries. I'm all about divisional playoffs. Bring it back. And maybe that's got something to do with that's how I was raised as well as a hockey fan, watching divisional playoffs. I loved it.
And I do understand, guys, back to 21 teams. Like, I know that when the Adams division, as much as we talk about rivalries, but certainly in that Norris division, when terrible team, imagine matchups of at least Chicago, some years JR was pretty good, but that 2 versus 3 was a good old St. Louis and Detroit, who are two of the worst teams in the NHL, and then you move on. And think back to I know this is when I was on the bandwagon for my Habs. I think my Habs lost to the number 16 seed, the Minnesota North Stars, did they not, JR? Way back?
I don't know if they were 16 seed, but they were way.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That was a huge
upset. I thought it was 1 through 6, 1 versus 16.
Well, when the Habs lost to Edmonton, that was a lopsided matchup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, to the format, and I just historically, like from a Sens perspective, does anything other than the year going to the finals, which of course you're thrilled, but man, the matchups against Toronto and Montreal and that first Montreal series to me in the 10 years of covering the team, there's just nothing that even comes close to it.
Part of Ottawa's path to that Stanley Cup final in 07 included a win in the conference final over Buffalo, mm-hmm. which is a divisional rival. Now, they also beat Pittsburgh and New Jersey, was it, along the way? Something like that. Okay. It was the first year they played Pittsburgh for the first time. You know, and they played Pittsburgh five times in the playoffs, I believe, over the years, that being the first one. Do I feel like I would rather, you know, if I'm an Ottawa fan, oh, man, I'd love to have Pittsburgh again. No, I'm interested in the teams there that are in their division.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? You played a team five, and I know people don't like Crosby, but I don't feel like when Pittsburgh rolls in, and as I said, part of mine is way back mentality of when you played in the old Patrick division, you hated everybody. Like, even as a player, you had to right away, we played rookie games against Philadelphia, there'd be 3,000 fights. You hated Philadelphia. You were told to as an 18-year-old. And then as you worked through, and that's kind of the buildup to it all. And again, I know it's different now in 32 teams. And of all things, you have a division that's kind of the North and then a couple of Florida teams mixed into it. But still, as I said, I like that. And the play-in thing, I think, is a bit intriguing. Never thought, but when I watched the baseball one, I guess I'm almost a bit jealous.
Or best of three?
I don't think the best of three from a standpoint of GR delaying everybody else to be playing at that point.
The season will end, I believe this, they've started ending the regular season now in the NHL, I believe Thursday. I believe it's on Thursday.
Okay.
And I don't know that the playoffs begin on that week. Maybe they do. But my point being, if you ended it on a Wednesday or Thursday, if you went for a best of three, and you know, if you're part of the, if you're 90% against a play-in because you think, well, that kind of dilutes the regular season, I can see your argument. If you made it so that the fourth place team had home ice advantage for all games in a best of three, so in other words, five plays at four in a best of three, and four has home ice for all, so there's no travel, and you can go and you can play, if necessary, three games in 4 days. So you play Saturday, Sunday, if necessary, Tuesday. It also is advantage to the first place team, therefore, because they'll get a team that has had to play potentially three games in four nights. So that is a further advantage, I think, to the team that finishes first, which you should get because you finish first.
Yeah, my quick thought.
And the other series, by the way, sorry to interrupt, the other series can begin 2 days ahead of time or whatever.
Yeah, and we did this in the American Hockey League, so it was always an interesting debate. Because a couple of things, what it did allow teams to do is say they made the playoffs, because that did become an issue, and it will now with 32 teams in the NHL. You're going to have, Ottawa's already on a six-year run. Well, that's going to happen more and more. I mean, it's a lot of good teams. It's a lot of track to make up. I just like the idea of, personally, if a season ended on a Saturday, guys, Monday night would be my four play-in games. It would just be a singular one, and then I'd get on with the playoffs. And obviously, twos and threes would play on a Tuesday night, and then the one and fours would start on the Wednesday night. That's just the kind of way that I do it. Hey, four, winner take all. Obviously, the fourth place team would be hosting a one game play-in. Now, also to that, guys, would be interested in, how would that ever affect the trade deadline, too, would be kind of interesting, right? How teams would look at it or approach it, depending if you're in the sixth spot, how far out are you out of fifth, and just kind of...
Oh, come on. The trade deadline is dead because teams are capped out.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they weren't smart enough not to spend all their money ahead of time.
Yeah, and then they've taken on paper contracts.
That's the NHL's fault.
It totally is. And the capologists, you know, the guy in Toronto is supposed to be, he designed it. Well... Okay, good job, bud. you're not even able to dress enough players on certain nights. But hey, you know, still an expert.
Yeah. Cole writes, I rarely disagree with things that you guys decide. I'm almost always on board, but I feel like conference playoffs 1-8 is the only option. Toronto is top five in the entire league, playing well all season. What's the reward for doing well? Three-time back-to-back cup finalist Tampa Bay. Just my thought. That comes from Cole.
Yeah, Cole, I understand that. But like I said, I really look at where the NHL is at right now. And if you were to then turn around and play the Rangers, do I think the Toronto's chance is a little bit better? For sure. But it's not a major downgrade. And it's going to rotate, with the argument obviously being the Edmonton Oilers now would probably look at this and say, man, we got a pretty good chance here to get through a couple of rounds of the playoffs. You know, if we do that, where we're at with our team, and I'm sure a lot of teams in that division, JR, look and say, wow. And then all of a sudden, it might be round three before you have a really, really tough matchup, you know?
I think what people are forgetting as well is that, because people are, I think the biggest issue people have, and, you know, most of the things I'm reading, is that it feels there's not a race, right? The issue they have is that Tampa and Toronto are locked into 2-3 in the Atlantic, have been locked into playing each other seemingly for the entire season. The reason, though, that is happening in part is because the Boston Bruins are having an historically good year. The Boston Bruins could end up getting the most points in NHL history. That doesn't happen every year. typically there is, even when you have 2-3 doing well, usually they're within range of the first place team as well.
For sure.
So Boston's just having this incredibly great year. It's this year is just an oddity. It's a one-off. We don't see this. We haven't seen, like, bring me another year in which, and it doesn't involve Toronto, and I know Sidney Crosby wrote it, but it doesn't involve, bring me another season in which we've had a locked-in playoff series for 3 or 4 months.
I think last year, and I say that because last year.
What matchup?
Well, I was going to say, no, I'm joking, dear, but the points disparity last year, because Ottawa, Florida won the President's Trophy last year, dear, but I think the bottom feeders in the division, Detroit, Buffalo, Ottawa, were so bad that it was top heavy. But here's the other thing. Am I missing something that we used to talk about? The race between second and third? The only thing that has ever mattered in whatever playoff format you have is who's making the playoffs. The only thing I'm focused on right now is, can somebody pick off Pittsburgh or Washington? I don't care from day one it's lining up to be Tampa. I don't recall... following the race for second and third place in a division. The race is who are going to be the wild card teams. That's to me the way that's set up.
If you're just chasing your tail, if you're trying to find the perfect system, it doesn't exist. Every year is different. You have to treat every year in a vacuum.
Yeah.
And so to find the perfect playoff system, it's not going to happen.
No, and here,
this year is a one-off.
And as franchises go, Washington, of all things, JR, you finally get over the hump and you go into, I believe, beat Tampa. Okay. What do you do next? You beat Pittsburgh. Like, then you end up winning the Stanley Cup. And I always go back, of course, to the 04 Red Sox. Like, if you're a Toronto fan, again, this idea that there's some path of magic, wouldn't it be the coolest thing of all time to beat Tampa, to beat Boston, and to beat Carolina, and then win the Stanley Cup?
You got to beat them all to win anyway.
Well, pretty good chance, yeah.
But you do. Like, it doesn't matter who's in front of you. You just have to. You have to beat who the standings
say.
You have to
beat the beatables that are in the playoffs.
Yes. Okay. Like, who do you like in the East? Okay, in the East. Toronto, let me just look at the standings right now to make sure I'm accurate, and I'm going to go, I can go on points or I can go on points.
And when Toronto loses, right? It won't be because of the goaltending.
Points, I can tell you, is definitely the Rangers.
Yeah, it won't be
but
because...
win percentage is probably different.
Toronto has the fifth best points percentage in the NHL so far this year. Tampa has the fourth best points percentage this year. There is no, the conference playoffs as they are set up right now, with the wild card system, would be the exact same if they were the 1-8. All four matchups would be exactly the same. Would not be different. Mm-hmm. This is just a weird year in which the top five teams are all in the same conference. They're all in the East. So it is top heavy to the East. So by extension, therefore, if you're 1-8 or wild card, two of those teams are going to meet in the first round.
Yeah.
That has to happen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's Toronto. If you don't want it to be that way, tough, a word I can't
tough
say.
What?
Tough
yeah.
luck.
Yeah, and also of all, again, still real respectful of Tampa, but as you go through the cycle and you think back, you know, legendarily, as you kind of pass the torch of the Oilers losing to the Islanders, then the following year knocking them off, like, in the cycle of where the Leafs are at, like, you should be taking down Tampa Bay at this time. And if you don't, well, and when you watch the game against Boston last week, you do look to and say, hey, not sure if this team is properly constructed to end up winning in a long playoff anyway. They're a very good hockey team, and we don't take anything away from their big boys and their ability to score. But are you really built to play playoff-style hockey? And I think they've gotten further and further away from that and re-enter, like, the goaltending question now for them going into a playoff series. I would not favor them against the Rangers if it was Shesterkin. I would not favor them against Vasilevsky. A lot of Russians here. I certainly wouldn't right now even face against Ullmark. So that, to me, is the fault of the team, not the format that's been devised.
Yeah. It's an odd year in which you have the top five. The only way you're going to get away from that is if you go back to league playoffs, which is just a non-starter. From a geographical point of view, it just doesn't make any. They're not going to go back to that.
You might have a chance then to have games where there's not much of a crowd to start off. Chair, again, part of locking in some playoffs, and one of the issues NHL would be fine now, but when you go to do play-in games, you don't necessarily know who's hosting the game or when it's going to be. And at the lower levels, that's a real problem. The American League was, okay, hey, we got a nice ice hockey match we just decided to have on a Wednesday. Well, that's friends and family that end up showing up, right? Like, to logistically kind of put all this together and then still get going. And the NBA has come up with a, you know, pretty creative formula. I think it's pretty cool what they're doing along with baseball.
All right, continue to share your thoughts. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. You can vote on our web poll question at TSN1200.ca. What, in your opinion, is the best playoff format? Is it the current system with the wild card? Is it play in your division only? Is it conference 1-8, or is it league 1-16? Vote at TSN1200.ca. We'll take a break, 9:39, as we roll on here from Monday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio, TSN1200. Who was one of the big winners at the Grammys last night. You guys watch any of the Grammys last night?
Nope.
Music's biggest night. Come on.
I saw a video on Twitter of, I don't know if you saw it, circulating, Ben Affleck and J-Lo.
Yes.
And old Ben, well, Ben, yes, looked like he wanted to be anywhere else than there.
That was a rug looking. He always moves it around.
Solid. Oh, okay. Very good.
I find if it's Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez in the same video shot, I'm not looking at Ben Affleck. So
well, that's a good point. And I also, as close as I came to watching awards, if I want a little pick-me-up, which I didn't need a pick-me-up yesterday, but I like to watch Ricky Gervais hosting the Oscars.
Just some highlights.
The last one.
Down that rabbit hole.
I just love it.
There's nobody that does it better. I don't give an F factor than him.
Oh, well, that one there. Like, Tom Hanks, I would just love to go into the mind of a few of these people. Like, Tom, his head was about to explode as he was just mocking these people left and right.
So Harry Styles won Album of the Year, which is not to be confused with Record of the Year, which was won by Lizzo.
I was asking Simmer, what's the difference?
The difference is this. The Record of the Year is just about the songs. The Album of the Year is the producer is part of the winner as well. So when Harry Styles went up to accept the award, the two producers were there as well, and they actually talked.
So the producer of Lizzo's album is garbage.
Don't know.
Wasn't
as good as
Harry Styles.
Wasn't
rock
as good.
Solid.
So there you go. Bonnie Raitt won for Song of the Year, which wasn't a very popular choice given
she's still singing?
She's still singing, yes.
She's the one that has the red with the kind of grayish hair?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Taylor Swift won for Video of the Year. Beyonce won three, but none of the really big ones, which a lot of people are up in arms about.
Okay,
but she now holds the record for most Grammys won with 32. There's your Grammys recap.
Nice.
Let's give away the Sens tickets. Sens v. Avalanche. March 16th is the day of the game. We got a four-pack of tickets. That's March break for those of you who are going to be stuck here in Ottawa while all your friends are off jetting somewhere warm. You could be on your way to see the Sens and the Avalanche, which is a pretty nice little matchup, if I do say so myself. The defending Stanley Cup champions. Presumably, at some point this season, they're going to be at full health. That has been a struggle so far this year. But the Avalanche are here March the 16th. Here's your question. You're going to text us the correct answers. There are two answers to this question. Two. So we're going to need three things from you on your text at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. Your first and last name and the answer to this question. Name two players who have played at least one game for the Colorado Avalanche this year, who have played at least one game for the Ottawa Senators in their history. All right, name the two players who have played a game for the Colorado Avalanche this season, who have played a game for the Ottawa Senators in their history. All right, give us the correct answers in the next 5 minutes, so by 9:55, and we'll put you into the draw, and one person will win four tickets to see the Sens and the Avalanche.
That's an excellent one.
Thank you.
I'm kind of coming up with one, but I'm not even sure if it's right.
Okay. Well, there you go. Hold your thought.
I will for sure.
I'll ask you the question. All right, and don't look it up like you do while we're talking as well.
No, I'm not.
You're notorious for that.
Oh, I am not.
Okay, Three Down Nation is reporting, so we're into legal tampering in the CFL, that the Saskatchewan Roughriders have put in, let me get the exact term of what they used, a strong multi-year offer to Trevor Harris to become their new starting quarterback. Of course, Trevor Harris spent last season with Montreal. And we had Justin Dunk on from Three Down on Friday. And the Alouettes ownership situation is a gong show. And unfortunately, what's happening right now is that it's looking like the rest of the CFL teams are going to go in and pick at the carcass because the Alouettes are just not in a position to sign their big-name free agents for whatever reason. Not exactly sure why. And so what's going to be left potentially is a team which is going to be in disarray, yeah. which is unfortunate. And a lot of people are making the, you know, making the, that they're or put, coming together with the thought that the CFL is kind of letting the Alouettes kind of dangle in the breeze right okay. now and not offering enough help.
And the hairball in trying to play for every team in the league, it has been Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, and then are we going Edmonton now, Saskatchewan? Am I missing anybody? Well, he's up to five, right, as he tries to run the gauntlet?
If he goes to Sask.
Yeah, but yeah. but am I missing anywhere else that he's played, the hairball?
No, I think it's mostly been through the East.
I swear that
did
this guy...
Did you say Edmonton?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I swear that this guy, when he left Ottawa, like, first of all, again, people were super down on him, but this is incredible. And when you think about Nathan Rourke signing, it's one more seat open, JR, and
yep.
probably the trickle-down effect, even for a guy like Arbuckle, of teams just recognizing that just trying to find capable bodies, well, first of all, as a starter, but to fill out your roster, it just doesn't feel like there's anything new coming into the pipeline.
If you want a guy that can march your team between the 20s, Trevor Harris is
exactly.
your guy.
Exactly.
He is your guy. All right, again, legal tampering is underway right now in the CFL, which means you can talk to other teams' free agents. You can agree to contracts. You just can't sign them until the actual first day of free agency, which is next Tuesday, Valentine's Day. So we'll hear, perhaps as soon as today, but sometime this week, some of the bigger-name free agents that will have agreed to contracts, including potentially some with the Red Blacks.
Yeah, it must be tricky behind the scenes, JR, of getting a deal from the agent because, okay, we're going to do a 2 or 3 year deal. Now, all of a sudden, when it does open up, he just goes back to the other team that you're already on and gets you $5 or $10 grand more. How many of these are, listen, I got to know that this is what's happening because I got to lock in right now financially. And then, like a lot of teams, the shopping list in the CFL is incredible every year, right? The amount of positions and the turnover. And even to hear that one fella get a 3-year contract, Jer, I can't recall ever hearing that in the CFL. Maybe quarterbacks, but... kind of nice that maybe some teams might be getting some stability now instead of 1-year deals all the time.
All right. Some texts have come in on other topics that we've discussed this morning, including the playoff format. Good morning, fellas. Rob from Ottawa. I agree the 100% that this year will not be repeated as far as the standings go. Trouble is, a small amount of people have the largest online presence and or voice. This year will not be repeated. Thank you. That comes from Rob. From Unsigned, the divisions are too big. With 32 teams, we need divisions of 4, like football, and just have the top 2 in each division make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Does that make sense to you?
Well, no, but I'm not saying it doesn't, but I think Jim Kite had put that out on social media. Good Ottawa guy, former Sen, awesome person. I can't, you know, and again, when you relate it to, and he related to football, JR, that's just such a different animal when you talk about the schedule, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to the 4 teams, yeah, I'm not sure. Now, what would, beyond, if we're being honest with ourselves, and we need one team in Quebec City, what a lot of the American teams would like is Canada to have their own division, and so you don't have to play some of the teams. No, if you really, you know, and what would be perfect for San Jose? Well, you want the 2 LA teams, and you want a couple of others. So I'm not sure about the 4 thing, though. I think now this is, though, with now half of the teams every year missing the playoffs, I'm a little surprised we haven't come closer on the play-in, JR, because it is a lot, you know.
Yep.
And the cycle to break it, you know, and just think of where Buffalo's climbing and, you hope Ottawa will in Detroit. You know, that changing of the guard, it is one thing. But in a team, you know, in a league like that, it's a long ways to go, I guess is my point, right? And I do respect that. So I'm a little surprised that they haven't looked more at, hey, a little 4 versus 5.
Mario writes, good morning, guys. Didn't Toronto just recently have a clear path to the conference final when playing in the All-Canadian division and then poop the bed against 16th-ranked Montreal? You want to be Stanley Cup champs, you need to beat the good teams.
Yeah, that's actually such a great point, eh? I mean, really, that was a year that Montreal had traded players away.
Mm-hmm.
Were they not, what, $20 million under the salary cap here? And they ended up knocking you off. So I do agree. And again, I guess I also just, hey, the NHL, like all leagues, JR, you sit and you try to critique and you try to come up with the best scenarios, and it's never going to be perfect, but I don't look at anything like this and say it's incredibly drastic or, you know, I can sit down and have the 1-8 conversation. I get that. It wouldn't be anything radical if they went back to it. But anybody that goes with the 1-16 and all that crazy stuff of, you know, jetting all over the place and how that would work out. Now, the other thing on the playoff format that I do like, JR, I think it would be really cool to reseed the Final 4. I do think that would be something fun.
I agree.
I'd be really into that. You know,
I don't need an East versus West.
No, I don't at all.
I don't need a conference champion.
Yeah, I think that would really mix, you know, you think of the years when San Jose was very good and felt like they were coming up against, you know, the same team in St. Louis or Dallas every year.
If Boston and Tampa or Boston and Toronto, God forbid, if they were to win their first three rounds, if they met in the Stanley Cup, don't you want your two best teams to
Yeah, that would be fun. And even for a semifinal, the fact Toronto could play, you know, say an Edmonton emerge in a semifinal, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and no, I think that'd be really cool.
So, sorry, when do you want to see reseeding?
Just the final four.
Final four.
Yeah.
Okay. Gentlemen, hello from the USA. The NHL games have gotten lost in the U.S. between ESPN and TNT. They're hard to find and not any schedule that makes any sense. NBC had set schedules along the lines of Hockey Night in Canada. It was much easier to find a game. That's from Unsigned. Yeah. And that speaks to a big story last week, which, again, some people have taken issue with the numbers that were presented, that television ratings in the U.S. were down, I believe, the story went 22%. That some people said, well, it's kind of an apples to oranges, you know, argument that how they're looking at the numbers. But I didn't hear a lot of kickback from Gary Bettman on the weekend on that. So I think there's a little bit of something to the fact that the ratings are down. And, of course, that has led to more debate on why is that. And to the texter's point, that is one of the, and obviously you and I aren't down in the States, but that the schedule has been very haphazard as far as the national games go. ESPN had some games at the start of the year, then kind of just abandoned the entire thing through football season, and it's just started broadcasting the games a bit more. Whereas when NBC had it, yes, the games on the big NBC only started happening again after football season, but they had NBC Sports Network broadcast games throughout the fall.
Yeah, and yeah, unless you're down there. Now, a bunch of other factors are, it's hard now to know exactly who has cable, and I'm not saying by a swing of 22% JR, but as to what percentage is watching, right? And again, I think of how crazy it was way back when they all of a sudden went to Versus. Like, you talk about, and that was a hunting channel.
I thought it was fishing.
Oh, well, you could fish and hunt. But my point being, like, destination. And in the United States, again, the other thing we never even talked about, and I don't think it relates to the numbers, is that crazy Bally story in the United States as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the whole industry of, and the amount of local affiliates in the National Hockey
12 teams. So this is regional television rights for 12 teams in the U.S. The carrier is potentially going to go into bankruptcy. So what that might mean for those broadcasts, is the NHL going to have to take them back? What does that mean from a revenue point of view?
Yeah, very
interesting.
And they're only in the, you know, a negative $60 billion. So just a little shuffle around.
They're just going to miss one interest payment of, I think it was $152 million or something. They're just going to miss one. We're fine. $152
That's
million.
That's what you need in the Bernie Madoff movie. Yeah. You got to go to the seventh floor where the guy was waiting there to just print checks, right? That whole
Is that a good movie, by the way?
I
flipped
past
that in the weekend.
I'm sucked into anything that's documentary related. So the fact that it was a true story. And to really understand, again, like when you talk about a trust factor and this guy's the rock star of investing, right? And, oh, man, just give it to Bernie. And Bernie going to get you 11 or 12%, even though it doesn't make any sense. But it's still Bernie. So, yeah, very good watch.
I couldn't understand more. My fellow JR, I prefer. So this goes back to my watching my game Sunday, either on my own or with Sen Superfan / kind of Eagles fan.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't understand more, fellow JR. I prefer to watch games of this magnitude alone with my good buddy, J.P. Weiser. Let's just say I am not the most enjoyable person to be around. I am invited to plenty of Super Bowl parties. Yeah. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
That comes from Unsigned.
And very strangely, and this may have been, I don't want to get too personal, but my girlfriend Mira ended up getting divorced, of course. Or at least I hope she did. But
as long as you don't marry her, it's
well, yeah,
for
that's
now,
a good
fine.
Point. But her and her ex could not watch a game in the same room when Manning and Brady were playing. Because the hate for Tom Brady, it was just...
Hang on, is she a Brady fan?
Oh, yeah.
And he wasn't?
Yeah.
Okay,
but
a Manning fan?
But there's a crew, and this is kind of, as we're friends with some of the other families, you know, before the divorce, like, there's a gentleman that he just hates Tom Brady, and I just let it go. I'm a bigger man than that, but it was just kind of comical that it could be so personal. Like, I joke about Aaron Rodgers, and I even enjoyed the golf on the weekend, JR, him winning. But some people, like with Tom, I'm like, come on, man. Like, he can't be that bad. But I guess he is. And by the way, Jared, one little thing. Who is the fella that Rogers won with? He's from Canada.
Ben Silverman.
Okay. Yep. Is he an actor or a
golfer? No, he's a golfer. Okay. He's kind of been more off the tour than on.
Okay.
Kind of more Corn Ferry tour. But he's Aaron Rodgers. I don't know how they ended up hooking up, but this is the second year in a row they played together at Pebble Beach, and they won this year. Yeah.
Was I right in when Josh Allen was teasing him that Rodgers got 10 strokes? Is that possible?
I'm not exactly sure.
They're giving something, are they
yeah.
not?
Oh, yeah. It would be handicapped for sure.
Okay.
JR, my man, my winner, how you feeling this morning? I just like you to know I'm even more confident than last week. I can't believe we're less than a week before we win our second Super Bowl in 5 years. Incredible. You deserve everything great that comes your way this week. That's from Unsigned.
That's coming from either Simmer.
No.
Or a Cowboy fan
That might be Joe the Leafs fan.
Oh, you think?
Eagles fan.
Yeah, he was pretty fired up, right?
Yeah.
I think even for Saturday, Jerry.
It is Joe.
You should go into a bit of a sauna/massage just to kind of tee up. Just
get
so
ready
you're,
for game
yeah,
day.
Yeah, so you're ready.
Get rid of the tension.
Because then you're going to go home and have the big turkey dinner.
Yep.
And then obviously you're going to sleep excellent. But you're going to wake up about, 8 a.m. and start watching the coverage? As they start
this will be the one time I'll break my rule of never watching pregame shows.
Yeah.
I will actually watch on
Sunday.
Hours? The best part about the Super Bowl is they always fan over your team, right?
Exactly. Like,
there's nothing negative.
Every player will have a profile done on them. How many charities
they're
involved with.
Both teams are just, there's nothing. Yeah. But then the postgame when you lose, they just chop you apart. But this one here, man, it's like, hey, this is great. This guy's great. The GM's the smartest guy ever, which he appears to be. Yeah, it's nothing but positivity leading in. It gets you really psyched for the match, right?
Four more days of hype on the show. That's it, everybody, and then it'll be over on Sunday.
Yeah.
All right, I'll ask the question again, see if Simmer's got an answer for you for the Avalanche tickets. Here we go. Okay. So two players who have played at least one game for the Colorado Avalanche this year have played at least one game with the Ottawa Senators in their career. Two players. Can you name one or both, Simmer?
Is Namestnikov still there?
No.
Okay. Well, that was my only... Did he sign back in Tampa? I don't even know where... Where's he playing?
Yes, I believe so,
Tampa?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I have no idea. Who are they?
So you are right in terms of the nationality. Well, actually, no. Actually, not.
No.
It's not... No, Alex...
Galchenyuk.
Yeah, Alex Galchenyuk is one. He's played four games.
Okay.
And the other is Andreas Englund, who actually played 33 games over four different seasons for the Sens. He was actually... their top pick, a second rounder, 2014-ish or so.
He was a big mauling defenseman.
Yeah.
Dad was super popular on the dad's trip.
Exactly. So he actually has played a bunch of games for Colorado this year with all the injuries that they've had. So there's your two answers.
Yeah.
And who is our winner at both of them?
Cameron Moody.
Nice job, Cameron. Hopefully you knew it because you knew it. But if you knew it because you looked it up, that makes you like everybody else, Cameron. You're on your way along with three friends or family members to see the Sens and the Avalanche March the 16th at Canadian Tire Center.